this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Have you heard this story about New Year's Eve in the Philippines? You know, they make a big, big deal there out of New Year's, and they believe they must have these incredible ear-shattering explosions because the 100 million Filipino people have this superstition. They believe you must have powerful noises to ward off bad luck. Well, this past New Year's Eve, ringing in 2016, as the countdown came, 5, 4, 3, 2, a drunk man ran up and embraced a giant firecracker called Goodbye Philippines. And guess what? It blew his head completely off. He was taken to the hospital, but it did no good. He was obviously pronounced dead. Guess he didn't need a New Year's resolution. Well, hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam, the Animal Steel. Happy New Year, Sam.
Happy 2016 to you, sir. How are you doing?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Sam, I was so tired yesterday. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to do the show tonight. Over the past month, I have had just an insane amount of activity. In fact, the world at large has heard very little from me. And that's because, and I'm going to reveal a little bit more about this tonight for the first time ever. Over this past month, my good friend and partner in crime in the TV and movie business, C. Eric Scott, has been down here in Puerto Rico with me, and we have been finishing up a feature film movie that we started last year, about probably 8 months ago. And over the past few days, Sam, I know that most of the people in the States are probably experiencing a bit of a winter chill. I have been in the ocean, snorkeling, swallowing salt water, shooting amazing footage, but just zapped. But I feel great tonight, and How does that sound for a January experience, huh?
I sound a little bit perturbed because my life kind of sucks right now, and I would like to be frolicking in the ocean and playing with my buddy, C. Eric Scott. But that's not apparently the way the ball bounces, Joshua.
And playing with dolphins and sea turtles.
I thought you weren't allowed near the blowholes anymore.
That's a different type of blowhole. As a matter of fact, we have joining us from an adjacent room here, the man himself, filmmaker, C. Eric Scott. Can you hear us, Eric?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound good, and hopefully you'll be able to stick with us throughout the rest of the show. It's kind of silly, actually, because Eric is literally, like, upstairs, and I'm downstairs. But that's how you have to
Hey, if I was in your house, too, I would try to be as far away as possible from you at all times.
So Eric and I are going to tell you a little bit about this mysterious project that we've been working on later on in the program tonight. And, of course, this year is truly getting off to a golden start with, in the studio in Asheville, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Happy New Year to you, Shelley.
Happy New Year. Seems like, you know, it's been forever since we've done a show, talked.
Yeah. It has been forever. You know, as a matter of fact, we had a nice sort of holiday show planned, and we had a scheduling conflict due to the ball games. And so if you combine the ball game schedule, and it's not just about when a ball game is going to air, but also when we get access to the studio for other purposes. Betwixt the ball game schedule and then my own travel schedule, and the holiday schedules, and the extremely active and fulfilled social lives of Sam and Shelley, it's difficult to orchestrate these programs sometimes. And so I am truly overwhelmed tonight. We have so much stuff to dig into. But, you know, Shelley, let me just mention, it is my understanding that the gold and silver market has gotten a big, big bump over the past few days. Is that right?
It has gotten a bump. It really has. And all of you who have money in the stock market, who are reaching for your Tums because your stomach is killing you, put it away and give me a call, because that's not going to happen if you get gold and silver and put it back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, everybody, you know you should do call Shelley at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402, because it's stupid to wait to buy when the prices are high. Buy while it's low, because it's going higher right now, and then you sell it when it's higher. But anyway, yes, we have a ton of stuff that we're going to try to catch up on tonight, because as if all this weren't enough, this also happens to be the big 13-year anniversary of this program, Speaking of Strange. Can you believe that?
Yeah, woohoo!
I don't know if 13 is lucky or unlucky, but time will tell. But I must say that it's truly amazing. I have seen a lot of radio shows come and go over the past 13 years. And in fact, right off the bat, I can't think of any other show about the paranormal other than Coast to Coast. And, of course, Coast to Coast isn't even strictly a paranormal show that has been consistent over the past 13 years. So, but that's really because of all of you listening to the program. It's because that you guys have supported us, because we don't do this show as a charity. This is not a public service. We have to make money to stay on the air. Radio is a business. And so it's by going to Wright's Coin Shop and shopping there, or going to joshuapwarren.com and buying goods and all that kind of stuff.
Or to whatever corner that I happen to be standing on. And and just donating a little bit of money to the cause.
We are always happy to receive donations, and you can just write Sam, WWNC, Speaking of Strange. We'll know it's a donation right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to specify.
Hey, you know what else is featuring an anniversary coming up soon? Is like, I can't remember off the top of my head. Help me out here. X-Files is coming back on the air here in a few weeks. for a six-episode run. What do you think about that?
He never watched.
That's right. That Oh, my gosh.
And you have Netflix, don't you? Roku?
Sorry. Yeah. I thought that we'd be speaking the same language here.
No, no. Oh, no. Just you and I. We'll speak same X-Files language.
I even know very well a man named Jim Castle who won an Emmy for doing special effects on the X-Files. And so I have all these connections to the show, but I've never just really sat down and gotten into it. And I think that's just because I'm not the type of dude who usually gets involved with narrative TV series. I was having this discussion the other day with Eric and Lauren because they've been on this like Game of Thrones watching binge, and I just try to avoid getting hooked on those things.
Well, the truth is out there, Josh.
Yeah. Eric, are you an X-Files guy?
I was, yes. I was an X-Files guy when it was on.
Yeah. Well, here, before we take our first break, here's another weird story that I want to toss out there. And, of course, we have a lot of catching up to do, so we are going to talk about some odd things that happened over the holidays. A man in Ohio was facing a fine of $500 a day because he put up a nativity scene portraying baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and the three kings as zombies. And the city said that this was obscene. And so the guy said that, well, he thinks that it's perfectly within his rights to express himself on his private property. And I'm not sure exactly how all this worked out, but what do you think, guys? Should an individual be able to put a nativity scene on his property that portrays something kind of ghoulish like that? I mean,
Why not? I mean, you have portrayals of Jesus as a black man, as a white man. The Judeo-Christian American Jeebus would be, a kind of white-looking hippie guy when, like, the reality is probably he was more of, Arabic origin or a darker skin origin. Why not be a zombie?
I mean,
there is something creepy about Jesus coming back from the dead also. You got to admit that.
And the cannibalism aspect of the flesh, we are partaking of the flesh during communions. You know, that's a cannibalistic aspect as well that we might want to look into. But I don't think the guy should have been fined for it or anything.
No,
they're making Pride and Prejudice into zombies. You know, the Bible might be more easily, to a younger culture. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I'll just mention this. Last Wednesday here in Puerto Rico was a holiday that is in many ways bigger than Christmas, called Three Kings Day. And it's a day when the three kings parade through various towns here on camels. And that morning, all the kids get extra presents. Because the night before, they put hay under their bed to feed the camels. It's kind of like putting out milk and cookies for Santa. And then the next morning, the three kings have left you gifts. And in fact, a lot of people don't realize here in Puerto Rico, they have one of the longest Christmas seasons in the world. But all right, we're going to take our first break. Again, later on in the show, we're going to tell you about this big special project that I've been working on down here with C. Eric Scott in Puerto Rico. And also, I think I'd like to get around to this really interesting story I found about scientists who say they've narrowed it down to these possible variations for other dimensions in the multi-universe theory. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
China, in a little rowboat.
broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. Now, don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more info on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour, hauntedasheville.com. Yes, believe it or not, even when it's wintertime, we run the tours and people have a blast because there's more paranormal manifestation in the winter. I think it's because the electrostatic charges are more active. But all that's at speakingofstrange.com, along with your link to Wright's Coin Shop. And I should tell everybody, just to also bring you up to speed here, I will be going on another extensive trip. I'm going to be leaving. I'm in Puerto Rico right now. I'm going to be leaving on January the 20th. I fly first to New Orleans. I'll be there for a little while. Then I go to Los Angeles. I'll be there for a little while. And then I take the Conspiracy cruise down to Mexico for 7 days. By the way, I don't know if there are any spaces left, but sometimes people do cancel. So if you're interested, go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, and click the news section if you're still interested in possibly attending that cruise. So then I'd be back in L.A. I'm going to stay there for a little while, and then I'm going to go to Dallas, Texas. I'll be there for like maybe 4 or 5 days, and then I'm going to head to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I'm going to be like traveling constantly, for almost a month. We're going to see how that affects our Speaking of Strange schedule. It's definitely going to be a wild time. And you know, when I travel like that, I usually take a lot of taxi cabs. But as I was telling you guys recently, I think I've started using Uber. And I absolutely love it. It saves me a ton of money. And, Sam, you are now an Uber driver.
Yes, until they, like, cancel me because I don't give enough rides. You got to keep a ratio up. You know, like, if you don't give X amount of rides in a month, they're like, okay, you better, like, pick somebody up. So then I just start night stalking. Just kidding.
Call me. If your ratio is low, just call me.
But it's a pretty good gig. I mean, it's like, you don't have to go in at a certain time. You know, if you're on the way home from the local chain megastore, just turn it on, maybe make a couple bucks on the way home, you know.
Did I tell you about my very first Uber ride?
Was he not as cool as me?
Definitely not.
It was a young Asian lady. And it was the great thing about Uber is, and again, I'm not being paid. Uber's not a sponsor. I'm just telling you an experience because I use taxis a lot. It's individuals. It's people like Sam, which I know that's a little scary, but people like Sam who they pass some criteria.
They do background checks.
Yeah.
He's a good driver. I've been in his car with him.
And they're able to these individuals are able to pick you up, and you can get on your app, and whoever is the closest has the opportunity to be there on the spot and get you. And it's like 50% less than taking a taxi cab. And there's no tipping required. It's amazing.
Well, they've been
tips?
You can, but you have people like Josh who might not offer. But they've been blocking Uber from airports though.
Why?
Like
Like if you're at certain airports, they'll make it so that the app is blocked because of the taxi companies complaining.
Well, let me tell you about my very first Uber experience, because this has nothing to do with the Uber driver, but I almost died. Okay. Now, what happened was, again, I'd never used it before. I was at a hotel in Florida by myself. I took out the app. I could see the little icons of cars in the area. I hit the button. Within 3 or 4 minutes, car pulls up, and again, there's a young Asian lady there, and I get into her car, and she's very friendly, and we take off toward the destination, and we turned a corner at an intersection, and all of a sudden, I heard behind me the most chilling, grating sound of brakes being stomped. Okay, and I have been rear-ended many times throughout
my life.
Yeah,
you have.
Yeah. And I am, as soon as that happens, as soon as I hear that noise, the first thing I do is put my teeth together because I don't want to bite my tongue off, right? And I sort of brace myself, and then boom, absolutely incredible explosion. It was the car right beside us that got it.
Dang.
And the Uber driver is stomping the gas, and I mean literally as we are zooming away from the wreck, I look back, sparks are flying, debris is exploding everywhere. I mean, it's kind of like those scenes where somebody is like trying to run ahead of the explosion shockwave in the action movie. So she is just tearing, and we're beating the speed of the wreckage by just, you know, a fraction of a second. And we pulled away, and I look back and see this just horrific mangle of metal. And, of course, instantly there were people pulling over on the side of the road, jumping out to go help. And, I mean, our hearts are just – my heart's pounding. I know her heart was pounding, and we're just like, holy you-know-what, holy you-know-what, holy you-know-what. And I was thinking to myself, you know, in a parallel timeline, that could have been the death of me right there. I'm dead in some other universe. And that's really interesting because, again, later on in the show, I do want to talk about a little bit this new story that scientists have come out with regarding parallel universes and different theories about how all these timelines may fit together. But that said, that may sound scary, but it's actually a compliment to the Uber driver because I don't know to what extent her driving saved us. But we came out of what could have been a fatal situation unscathed.
That is good, because I don't know how all that works, because it utilizes your existing insurance. But then, like, you go on to their insurance as soon as you pick somebody up or something. Like, as soon as you go online, maybe, or as soon as you pick up a fare, then you're on their insurance. So I'd be curious to see, because I know they cover you, and that's why they take such a big cut of a percentage of what you make, is because it's for use of, like, the app and insurance. And I just read an article about it. It was like, is this the end of the sharing culture or whatever? And it was talking about Uber drivers and how in California there's a class action lawsuit against the company by, I think, four people. And I under no circumstances thought when I was getting this job that, like, they were going to pay for my gas or my insurance or my maintenance on my car. But apparently these people did, and now it looks like it could ruin it for everybody because the judge has ruled in the plaintiff's side. And
really?
They would have to pay for, like, up to 130,000 people that were employed by Uber prior to this certain date, pay them back wages, and effectively become their boss. And it's like that's one of the bonus things. You don't want a boss, you know? You don't want somebody telling you when or what to do. So that would suck. So if that happens, you four people in California.
Well, I've heard stories. I've talked to the Uber drivers about all the problems that they're having working out the legal stuff, and which, you know, brings me to this other weird news story, speaking of legal things. Okay, Shelley, let me ask you this question first, all right?
All right.
If you go to the zoo, and let's say it's your birthday, and somebody makes a special arrangement for you to be able to go, like, behind the scenes and play with the monkeys. And a monkey grabs your cell phone and takes a photograph of himself. Does that monkey own the copyright on that photograph? And if not, who does?
Well, I would think that no animal could own a copyright, but I believe that, court cases have been kind of hinky lately, and rulings have been really very, very strange. And didn't they actually rule that the monkey has the copyright?
Didn't we just say the monkey gets the copyright, and if he never does anything with it, then it's society's loss?
When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a macaque that took the now famous selfie, and what a judge has decided about how this affects copyright law and animal ownership. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp?
Years of this program broadcasting from our flagship station, News Radio 570 WWNC in Asheville, North Carolina. And it was Brian Hall, who made the decision.
Brian Hall?
To let us do Speaking of Strange.
I think it sounds like a good idea. That's Speaking of Strange, aliens and whatnot.
And there have been only a handful of times over the years when the little strobe phone has gone off and Brian Hall has complained about something, and I think it was well warranted. And unfortunately, I can't tell those stories on the show because he was kind of right.
Let's just say they involve Gil Gerard and a drunk goat.
Yeah, a segment where I'm like, let me tell you about all the things the program director didn't want me to talk about over the years at once.
Well, let me at least get a jingle for it first.
But we've actually been given an enormous amount of latitude and flexibility, especially if you consider that it's not like we're broadcasting this thing out of New York City where people are a little more liberally minded. I mean, you know, We started in homegrown Western North Carolina, where a lot of people said, you can't do a show like this, where you read stories like that. The people won't accept it. But they did. They did. And so we're very happy that all of you have enjoyed the program enough over the years to, stick with it. And we'll see if we can make it through another year. It is getting more and more difficult for me to do this show because I didn't travel as much as I travel now 13 years ago.
Well, you have advancements in portable electronics that should make it easier.
And, well, it make it possible. But, you know, it's still tricky at times. Okay, so now, see, Eric Scott, before we get back into the details of this story, do you know of another incident in which another type of creature has taken a photograph of him or herself or done what amounts to a selfie?
I have not heard of any such cases, so this does definitely present an interesting scenario.
Because you might think only a monkey could do this, but it depends on the type of camera. And it also depends on who the photographer is. If the photographer is defined as the person who literally pushes the button that creates the exposure, Well, then I think you could put a camera up somewhere, and you could have a little mat, and every time your dog runs onto the mat, it snaps a picture, and that would be a dog selfie, would it not?
Sure, why not?
Everybody just blew his mind.
I know. We went too deep too fast.
Still trying to wrap my brain around that.
Well, this is not the kind of thing we usually think about. But this judge had to, a real federal copyright judge, had to sit down and look at this situation. And here is what was decided. Okay. U.S. District Judge William Orrick said in a tentative ruling in a federal court in San Francisco that, quote, while the Congress and the president can extend the protection of law to animals as well as humans, there is no indication that they did so in the Copyright Act, end quote. So this lawsuit filed last year by PETA sought a court order allowing PETA to represent the monkey and let it administer all proceeds from the photos for the benefit of the monkey.
Okay, well then who had power of attorney over the monkey, because the monkey can't make a case in district court?
And who got sued for taking the camera, for stealing the camera that took the selfie?
Well,
no.
That is if the monkey literally stole it.
Wait,
it might have been handed to him.
So I thought it was just the case. The case was I didn't know it had anything to do with a theft. I thought it was just copyright law.
I thought the monkey just came and took the camera.
Yeah, she's saying, because I gave her just a generic example of, hey, let's say a monkey grabbed your cell phone. But that may not actually be what happened in this case. It doesn't say.
What about
it just says the monkey took a selfie.
But that's
doesn't PETA usually just want to represent animals that are abused? I mean, was the monkey? I mean, was there some sort of claim there about abuse of the monkey? I mean, why do they care if a monkey is taking a photograph of itself with a cell phone?
Well, it sounds like a publicity stunt. I mean, I can't understand why else that they would do that. But they are trying to set some kind of a legal precedent for animal rights.
But I mean, this seems that's kind of far fetched. It's like obviously the ape couldn't have made the lawsuit happen. It can't cash the checks. It can't balance the checkbooks or do anything with the money. So somebody would have to have power of attorney over the ape. What if it was like a case of you could log into a webcam like the one that looks over Asheville downtown, and then when you hit F1 or something, it would snap a screenshot off that camera, but you weren't there. It's not your camera. Whose copyright would that be?
Another interesting question.
So does
unless
this,
yeah. What's that, Shelley?
I was going to say, so when my cat takes a selfie, because she does take selfies, she has learned to hit that button. Mm-hmm. Does she own the copyright to her own image?
Not according to this judge, but prior to this judgment, it was a possibility.
This is so ridiculous.
Well, do you remember, like, years ago, there was this big movement, and there were serious scientists behind it saying, look, we have studied dolphins long enough that we believe dolphins are intelligent enough to vote in political elections. and they fought for the right. You know, they had a petition, and they said, look, just because they live in the water and they can't speak English does not mean that they don't know what's going on and that they can't, you know, go up with their little noses and bump the correct button on an election machine.
If I owned a pet dolphin, I would name it Dolphin Lundgren.
and I bet you that if a politician found out that all the dolphins would vote for him, I bet you the politician would get behind that.
Trump would buy all the dolphins.
Exactly. If Trump does a study and says all the dolphins will vote for me, then I think he would push for dolphin rights. He's that kind of man.
What about Mexican dolphins?
No Mexican dolphins. No, no, no. That's a different category altogether.
I guess you'd have to build a wall in the Gulf.
I'm going to erect a net in between the United States and Mexico.
Only all dolphins except Mexicans. Oh, boy. If Trump wins, and I'm not, I do not want to turn this into a political conversation, but I just want to say if Trump wins, I do wonder if he is going to turn the White House into a reality show, because that would get huge ratings. It'd be huge,
it
right?
Would, you know? It would bring more Americans into the political arena.
Yeah, and then we might get to do a ghost hunt.
You would. And you know that like everybody would watch it, too. And then we'd all have to admit that Trump is actually a genius, even though you didn't want to admit it. And you're like, God, God, God. It's all publicity anyway, Josh. It's all publicity anyway.
Well, you know, I actually, when my White House ghost photo report came out, and remember now, Eric and I produced that together.
Who could forget?
And so, yeah, and so I actually went to D.C., the D.C. area, and stayed at Eric's house part of the time, and we drove around and we interviewed all these people and we did all these experiments. And after that came out and we started getting a lot of attention, I mean, the Huffington Post covered it and foreign media covered it. I tweeted to all of the significant political candidates, if you win, will you let me investigate this at the White House? And not one of them replied, but that was a missed opportunity, and I hold that against every damn one of them.
I think we all should hold it against them, and I think you should just not cease. Be vigilant in sending those tweets, you know.
Well, plus I did that at Halloween time, so it's not like that they didn't have a reason to...
they got PR people. It's not like they're answering your tweets. Come on.
Well, yeah, perhaps somebody it's just time to start the petition, you know, do one of those petitions where, you know, we just get enough signatures to make them have to look at it. Yeah.
Yep. And I tweeted Republicans and Democrats.
We'll make a video. So, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think that somebody should be able to get in there and investigate that. But just remember now, they still have made absolutely no moves. I've heard from nobody whatsoever about even allowing us
Bernie,
to go in.
Bernie Sanders would probably let you in there.
I don't know, but we have not even been able to go get permission to go and look at the original negative in the National Archives, and that is ridiculous. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you knew it wouldn't take us long to get to a story from the great state of Florida, and so we're going to do that when we return, and oh boy, just reminding me, I'm going to be there again soon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual, keeping you company tonight on our big 13-year anniversary show, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, the number 828-298-5402. Again, write it down, 828-298-5402. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. You buy 100 pounds of expensive copper line.
Thank you.
number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange 13-year anniversary edition. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And remember now, next hour, C. Eric Scott and I are finally going to tell you a bit about this feature film that we've been working on really for a good year now, because maybe even longer than that. Because, you know, basically the process of putting together a movie is more than just shooting it. I mean, it begins with getting an idea and then developing that idea and then finding locations and finding actors and putting all that stuff together. And then you shoot it, and you may shoot it during different periods. And then after that, you have to edit it and put it all together. And then once that's done, well, you have to get it out there. And so we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been working on. I don't want to give it all away, but you'll hear more than you've ever heard before. And also, I want us to get into maybe an interesting discussion about some of these different concepts that scientists are presenting now regarding how the universe is made, what the universes, as they call them, look like. I know that's a bit contradictory. You think, well, there can only be one universe because it's uni, but that's not how they term things. But let's go ahead and wind up this hour with some good old-fashioned freaky Florida stories. First story comes to us from Ormond Beach, Florida. A Volusia County man is accused of trying to electrocute his father after finding out he was the sole beneficiary of the man's will. In a news release, they said that the 81-year-old man says that his 44-year-old son held two black wires to his chest in the morning. Police say the older man passed out briefly, but then sneaked out of the house when his son left the room. He said his son looked down at him and thought he was dead, and then said, quote, "I will show you who gets free room and board, you old blank," end quote. The two had initially argued after the son was told to get a job, and police said the dad told them he could no longer live in the house for free. So, obviously, that young man, if you call him that, is in trouble.
Another reason why I have no children.
Yeah, and it's probably a good idea not to tell your kids if they're in your will or not. It could go wrong either way.
I watched that movie the other day with Jack Black where he's the mortician in a very small town that's like the best friend, caregiver, partner of this old lady. And she's really
Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie. Yeah, that was really funny, man.
I love that movie. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Jack Black at his best. Bernie.
Yeah, definitely good.
Okay, here's a story from Edgewater, Florida. Says a Florida man who heard a helicopter over the storage unit where he grows marijuana panicked, called 911 to turn himself in. The 47-year-old, again, heard this helicopter, and he said, quote, "I'm the guy they're looking for," end quote. Said he wanted just to surrender without being shot by a SWAT team, but it turns out that the police said the helicopter actually belonged to a local news station covering the investigation of a suspicious death at a nearby home. So it had nothing to do with this guy, but he jumped to the conclusion that they were there for him. The guy's been arrested and charged with cultivating cannabis within 1,000 feet of a school and possession of marijuana with intent to sell.
What is it Kenny Rogers says? You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Yeah, well, he didn't know that. And here's another story that some of you might find humorous, if a bit ghoulish, from Brevard County, Florida. A burglary suspect was able to escape deputies, but not a hungry 11-foot alligator. The man's body was identified after he was found in Barefoot Bay Lake. The guy apparently was trying to get away from deputies, and he jumped into the lake to swim away. Says here, the man was reported missing the next day by his girlfriend who didn't know what was going on, and they finally recovered the body, or what was left of it, from the 11-foot alligator nearby.
You know,
they had the animal euthanized.
Oh. It's not only doing what it's programmed to do.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. It's like they honestly believe that if an animal eats a person, he's going to become some serial human eater now. But I think that it doesn't probably matter that much, but what do I know? Okay, that's all we have time for this
hour.
It's
just weird how it's so crazy how in Florida that's like just becomes the norm. Like, yeah, here's Charlie got ate by an alligator last night. Like,
yeah,
man,
sure.
It's crazy. Wild.
Yeah, it's a real monster. Okay, when we come back, we are going to tell you what we can about this new feature film project and a lot more. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.